Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Man, you know, Fridays are pretty bittersweet for me because it is the last current sports radio show before the weekend hits and we take a two-day hiatus. Oh boy, time flies when you're having fun. We've been having fun all week here on Current Sports. So hey, let's go out with a bang, right? Friday's show is packed. Jam-packed, folks. On today's show, we will talk about the big overtime win that the MSU women's basketball team had last night against Georgia Tech. Entertaining stuff, to say the least. We'll also talk about a big trade from the Detroit Tigers. It's also Friday, so yeah, you know what that means. Reflection Friday will reflect on some of the biggest sports stories this week throughout current sports and in just the sports world in general. And we invite Brooks Lambeer, Impact sports writer for the MSU men's and women's soccer team. Brooks will give us a preview of the big Elite Eight showdown between the Spartans and Providence at noon at DeMartin Stadium. Man, it's going to be a good one, folks. We'll have all of that and so much more. But as custom here on the show, here is Andrew Hayes on his last day, the final day here at Current Sports for Andrew. Here he is with your quick hit headliners for December 5th.
I'm Andrew Hayes, and here are your quick hit headliners for December 5th, 2014. For the second straight year, MSU men's soccer will attempt to make it to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. The Spartans are the only Big Ten school remaining in the field. Michigan State hosts Providence this Saturday at noon. Michigan State punter Mike Sadler became the first four-time academic All-American in Spartan history yesterday. He is also one of three finalists for the William V. Campbell Trophy, which is awarded to a football player who is the absolute best in the country for his academic success, football performance, and exemplary community leadership. The number 19 MSU women's basketball team earned a tough 79-73 overtime victory last night against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. The Yellow Jackets came out fast and led Michigan State 40-27 at halftime. Quote, "It felt like they put boxing gloves on and just pummeled us, to be honest with you, for about 20 straight minutes, and we just stood there and took it," said MSU head coach Susie Merchant after the game. But the Lady Spartans fought back thanks to a double-digit scoring effort from four of their players, including Tori Jankowska, who contributed 21 points and 10 rebounds. But the Lady Spartans fought back thanks to double-digit scoring efforts from four of their players, including Tori Jankowska, who contributed 21 points and 10 rebounds. Jankowska also played all 45 minutes. Ariel Powers also recorded the double-double with 17 points and 14 rebounds. The Red Wings beat the Dallas Stars last night 5-2. Darren Helm led the way for the Wings, recording two goals. Jimmy Howard had limited work but recorded 21 saves. The Wings finished their four-game homestand on Saturday against the New York Rangers. According to reports from FoxSports.com, the Tigers have acquired right-handed pitcher Shane Green in a three-team deal with the Yankees and Diamondbacks. In exchange for Green, the Tigers dealt right-handed pitcher Robbie Ray and minor league infielder Domingo Leyva to the Diamondbacks, and shortstop Didi Gregorius went from the Yankees to the Diamondbacks. Dallas Cowboys worked the Chicago Bears last night in a 41-28 embarrassment on Thursday Night Football. The Bears fall to 5-8 and are now one game from being mathematically eliminated from NFC North contention. DeMarco Murray continued his pursuit of Barry Sanders' consecutive 100-yard rushing games with a 178-yard performance. Florida State will be without its starting running back for the ACC Championship game. Senior Carlos Williams has not been cleared to play this week after he sustained a concussion in the team's game against Florida. Freshman speedster Dalvin Cook will start against number 11 Georgia Tech on Saturday. Cook, who rushed for a career-best 144 yards against the Gators while filling in for Williams, has 728 yards this season. Those are your headlines for December 5th. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open. We'll be right back.
Andrew, my man. All right, again, those are your quick and headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we talk about here on Current Sports, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Again, that number, folks, is 517-355-9527. And I want to start the show by, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge this, but some sad news when it comes to Mid-Michigan sports, folks. The Lansing basketball area scene has lost an icon, to say the least. Now, Chris Ferguson, former Sexton basketball star and East Lansing coach that really touched the lives of many people throughout this area, many players, many fans. He sadly passed away on Wednesday at the age of 73. You know, a really touching article was put together by Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal with accounts from different players that that Chris actually coached, from, you know, Dr. Charles Tucker, longtime NBA agent and area basketball observer. I mean, Carlton Valentine also has a few thoughts. Cha-Cha Tucker, who was a freshman point guard at Tennessee State. I mean, Chris is just an icon, a legend that many people knew and many people adored throughout this area. And I want to give a tribute to Chris throughout this show. Now, Chris is a guy I never came in contact with, but he is a man who, if you know, when I covered basketball games throughout this area, since, you know, when I was going back to my days at Channel 6, I mean, whenever I would, you know, cover a certain team in Lansing, I would always run into somebody somewhere who would bring up the name Chris Ferguson. I even remember the first time I met Carlton Valentine, and Carlton talked about how much Chris, you know, meant to him in his playing days and even, you know, his life off the basketball court. So we want to tribute Chris Ferguson here today on Current Sports. And if you knew him, if you heard about him, or if you played with him or played for him, I would love to get your thoughts on Chris Ferguson's legacy when it comes to this area and when it comes to sports right here in Mid-Michigan. Would love to hear your thoughts on Chris Ferguson. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527 is that number. And also, folks, tonight the MSU hockey team gets it on against one of the best teams each and every year on the hockey scene, Minnesota. Yeah, folks, they will be getting it on tonight. It's starting in a doubleheader against Minnesota. We'll be giving tickets away to those games. If you want to win tickets to go see the Spartans in action at Munn Ice Arena, all you got to do, again, pick up that phone, call in. We also have tickets, actually, to tomorrow night's, tomorrow afternoon's, I should say. It's a 2:15 tip-off for the MSU men's basketball game. Call in. We're actually, Alex, let's go with our first two callers for those tickets. We got two pair, again, for the men's basketball game and the hockey games. Again, call in 517-355-9527 if you want to go down to Munn or the Breslin Center to enjoy those matchups. But yeah, folks, and again, call in with your thoughts on Chris Ferguson. Again, an icon from the Lansing area basketball scene. Again, sadly passing away at the age of 73 on Wednesday. All right, folks, well, so much to talk about, so little time. Again, Friday's a bittersweet for me, man. I love, you know, every single weekday afternoon, you know, you guys tuning in and being a part of your afternoon here on Current Sports. You know, when the weekend comes, yeah, it's the weekend. You know, it's great. You know, you get 2 days off to just kind of chillax. But I tell you what, man, you know, I miss you guys over the weekend, okay? So we're going to try to go out with a bang this Friday. Ton to talk about. Later on, again, we'll invite Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. He is an MSU men's and women's soccer beat writer. He's going to talk about the big matchup taking place tomorrow at noon. I will actually be in the house at DeMartin Stadium to cover that game, so you want to keep it locked to WKR.org for my coverage from that matchup. But again, if MSU wins tomorrow, folks, they will have a chance at making, again, the Final Four. They will be in the Final Four if they win tomorrow. Unbelievable accomplishment. Again, this is back-to-back years that Michigan State has now accomplished an Elite Eight appearance remarkable stuff to say the least. So Brooks is our soccer expert. He's going to break down all things MSU soccer and give us a preview of that matchup against Providence later on in the hour. Again, it's also Reflection Friday. Earlier this week, we had an interesting discussion that sparked up a lot of debate and a lot of opinions and views here on the show. We'll reflect on that discussion. But first, let's start the show by talking about the MSU women's basketball team. I tell you what, it was a thrilling game down at the Breslin Center last night. The Michigan State women's basketball team coming through in such an adverse situation, pulling out a tough 79-73 overtime victory against Georgia Tech. Again, the Yellow Jackets, if you were paying attention to this game, and for those who attended it or just were following it on your phone or watching it, 40-27. 40-27, folks, at halftime. Michigan State down by 13 points. And I'm sitting there like, I don't know where, how, who's going to step up? Who's going to step up for this team? I didn't think they had a shot at pulling this game out. Interesting quote. Andrew just read a quote from Susie Merchant in our Quick Hit Headliners that I found pretty funny. head coach Susie Merchant of the women's basketball team said, quote, "It felt like they were putting on boxing gloves and just pummeling us. To be honest with you, for about 20 straight minutes, and we just stood there and took it." Well, I tell you what, that MSU women's basketball team did a very good impression of the rope-a-dope last night, because it's like they just woke up. They woke up when they needed to wake up. And I tell you what, one of the biggest questions for me with the MSU women's basketball team is throughout an entire game. I tell you what, Ariel Powers brings it. Well, you know that whenever this team takes the court, you can pretty much guarantee that Ariel Powers is going to go out there and put on a show. She's the best player on the team. She's the most consistent offensive weapon you have on the team. And, yeah, she plays a little defense as well. She is an offensive juggernaut. She actually had her sixth double-double in a row last night. I mean, it's unbelievable what Ariel Powers, the body of work that she has been able to put together this year. You know, I looked at her last year, looking at her freshman campaign. I mean, my goodness, she was good then, but it seems as though she's taking her game to another level. So you pretty much guarantee that she is going to go out there and give you consistent minutes and consistent points. But Michigan State had a bit of a scare that when it happened, I got to be honest with you, I pronounced MSU dead. I pronounced them dead, folks. And for me, it's like, who steps up when Ariel Powers is not in the game? Now, I will say this, though, to preface this conversation. Tori Jankowska has been solid, folks. She's that, and it's funny, because talking with Ariel Powers, especially after that Notre Dame loss, I was sitting there talking with Ariel, and she talked about how, you know, if Ariel isn't in the game, Tori steps up. And then I talked to Tori. She was like, "Yeah, if I'm not in the game, Ariel steps up." Those two, I will say, have been solid. Ariel a little more so than Tori, just because Ariel is just, I mean, her athletic ability coupled with the way she can shoot the ball, her first step is unbelievable. I mean, Ariel, she is the first option. Tori, in many cases, the second. But I tell you what, last night there was a bit of a scare, because Ariel Powers, she fouls out in overtime, and you're sitting there looking like, how can this team come through now with her on the bench? But this is the calling card that I've been calling for this team since the season has started. The seniors have to be seniors. And first off, Anna Morrissey, how great was she? I mean, if she doesn't hit that three-pointer with 2:25 remaining to start and really tune up that 11-0 run, I'm sitting here with a totally different tune on the radio show, okay, here on Current Sports. Anna Morrissey, with that three-pointer, you kind of just saw much-needed life breathed into this team, and then they just kind of took off from there. They had some great defensive stops. Becca Mills hits the go-ahead basket with 54.2 seconds left to give Michigan State the lead, and they didn't look back from there. But that three-pointer for Morrissey was huge, huge, folks. And again, going back to Tori Jankowska, I mean, she had 21 points, 10 rebounds. That's a double-double for her. How about Jasmine Hines stepping up, 16 points for her? So again, you got Morrissey, you got Hines, and you got Mills. Mills and Hines, the two captains on this team, they stepped up. And this is another thing. Looking at Jankowska and Powers, the body of work that they have been able to put together, I mean, that's a guard-heavy production, offensive production. I've been wondering, when are the bigs going to start to blossom? Sure, we've seen a few performances from Becca Mills that kind of turn your head and say, okay, you know, if they get the ball to her more, maybe she could do a little more damage than what she's doing. They were sort of forced to get Becca Mills in the action, seeing as though they only had one guard-heavy offensive production in Ariel Powers, who was not in the game. So you had to go to Tori Jankowska, and Tori can't shoulder the entire load, so other people got to step up. And the way that this team has battled adversity, I keep going back to that Notre Dame game, because that Notre Dame game, to me, stands out more than any of them so far, because Notre Dame, coming into Michigan State's house at the Breslin Center, ranked number 3 and number 2 in the nation, respectively, in the Associated Press and USA Today coaches poll. That was a test to show that MSU belonged in conversation with the big dogs, that they could hang with anybody in the nation. And they showed it. That was a gritty matchup. Michigan State had to lead a few times throughout that game, but came up a bit short. But Notre Dame, you better believe, they had them sweating, folks. Michigan State is showing that they know how to deal with adversity, and they know how to deal with close games down the stretch, and they showed that last night. This is a very gritty and a very resilient basketball team that can compete with anyone. Anyone. It does not matter. I thought it was a very impressive game throughout. And again, just imagine, because again, you know, I think Susie Merchant's quote was dead on. You know, I feel like they put on boxing gloves and just kind of pummeled them. You know, that first 20 minutes of the game was just like, whoa, what is going on here? You know, this team needs to wake up. And if you have any more criticism about this team, they have to get off to better starts in games. They have to come out more ready than what they have been in certain games, because you just kind of feel that they're a little bit relaxed at times. But when they do come out focused, oh, man, I mean, you can probably pretty much put it to bed. But I thought this was a great game from a standpoint of just showing how this team can battle through adversity and who steps up when your superstars are out of the game. Great performance. And you gotta tip your cap to Georgia Tech as well. I thought that Sydney Wallace, you know, she was great. She actually led the Yellow Jackets. She went 5. I mean, looking at her points, I mean, she had 22 points. Kalia Davis had 20. Rodrigo Rogers, she grabbed 12 rebounds. I mean, this is a very talented team, and I think Georgia Tech is also an underrated team. But Michigan State, I tell you what, they responded when they needed to. An impressive victory. They now hit on the road this Sunday to take on Georgia. So how about that? Again, folks, our phone lines are open. They will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I now invite the man behind the glass. That's why what I have dubbed him. Alex Shark, how you doing, my man? Happy Friday. A little rough Friday for you to start the show.
Yeah. How about that? It's like your good friend said, there always would be days like this, according to your mama and your grandma. But you know what? We're still here. We're still doing this on Current Sports. It's a good show. And there's a lot going on. I mean, I heard that women's basketball game was the game of the year so far.
It was fantastic. And
the fact that with the youth of this team and the somewhat debated, what I've heard debated, that this women's basketball team has a lack of depth a little bit this year compared to past. Personally, I don't think so. And I don't know what you think, Al. But
yeah, I don't think so. But expand upon that. Why don't you think so?
Yeah, just because, you know, with the bigs, I mean, there's a lot more youth playing this year compared to past years. Look at the freshmen getting minutes. Even the sophomores getting more minutes. Most of your scorers are younger.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at your bench, you know, the first game or two, Susie was playing 8 or 9 girls deep. That was about it. Now you're starting to play a little bit more. A lot of girls are getting in the game now. Injuries, you know, that was a little bit of an issue. We'll see who comes back and who doesn't. But, I mean, it's looking like the depth is going to be there. Is that pretty accurate?
No, I agree. I think that as the season moves on, I think you can see more production from, you know, players like Jasmine Lumpkin. She actually recorded 15 minutes last night. You know, you got Kennedy Johnson. I think as time goes on, she'll get more minutes as well. And I think, honestly, they're going to need it. I mean, a college women's basketball season, or any college basketball season for that matter, you know, it's a pretty long season. It's an elongated season compared to other sports. So as the season goes on, I think this team still is searching for an identity. Right now, I think the identity that you can say for the MSU women's basketball team is that they have two guards that can score the basketball, and of course, you know, Ariel Powers and Torrey Jankowska. At times, defensively, they need to compile 40 minutes of solid defense throughout an entire game, because when I tell you what, when they need to step up and lock down defensively, they will do it. But throughout an entire 40 minutes, at times you see them. I just feel like sometimes they take possessions off. But this is a team, again, this is a team that is not going to give up. They are right now, if you had to pinpoint it into one or two words or what this team's identity is, I think I pretty much said it. I think they are gritty and resilient. Gritty and resilient right now. Right now, and also, again, going back to the depth, though, I think you're going to start to see other players and other names unexpectedly step up. Again, names to look out for me. And even Kara Miller. How about Kara Miller? I mean, not too long ago, Kara Miller came in and gave, you know, gave his team some great points, great buckets down the stretch of games. So, yeah, you will see a supply chain sort of mentality with this squad, where they will have players off that bench come in and give you solid minutes. Impressive stuff, though. I was surprised, though. I mean, you know, looking at, you know, Jasmine Lumpkin, I mean, she didn't take a shot. Becca Mills, she stepped up when she needed to step up. I think you need to see more shots taken from those players when they come into the games off the bench. I think right now, I mean, you see how well Ariel Powers and Torrey Jankowska are playing, that I think other players are sort of catering to those two players' game right now and not looking for their shots. But again, you're starting to see players sort of fit in and knowing when to take certain shots in certain situations. Specifically, you know, Anna Morrissey. You know, she saw that one of their best players, Ariel Powers, is not in that game. They needed some offense. They didn't know where to turn to. So she stepped up her game and hit big shots down the line. So I think this team has a lot of pieces that are going to blossom as the year goes on, and I think they will get better. It's still early in the season. And frankly, if you want any games like this where it goes to overtime and you have to battle through some sort of adversity, you want it to happen at this time of the year, at the beginning of the year. You don't want to talk about this in February, mid-February, late February, right on the brink of March Madness, because there may be a few holes that you need to plug, but if you seriously want to make a big run in the NCAA tourney. But this team has a lot of talent that will only get better from game to game to game. Folks, again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Alex, before we hit our first break, I want to get your thoughts on the Detroit Tigers. This is an interesting move here for the Tigers. The Tigers have agreed to acquire right-hander Shane Green from the New York Yankees in a three-way trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, Green posted a 3.78 ERA in his rookie season with the Yanks. He went 5-for-4 in 15 games, 14 starts, and struck out more than a batter an inning. Interesting move here for the Tigers that I think reveals a little bit about a few other players on that roster. First off, I want to get your initial thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and I just want to commend Dave Dombrowski. And although, is this the best deal? Does it say a lot about the other players? What this deal does is it shows that Dave Dombrowski met his goals even more. When they made the center field trade, we said it as well, where Dombrowski said he was going to get a center field, he went out and got it. It isn't hearsay, she say, near say. He went out and got what he was accomplished to do. There was a lot of criticism last year during the year where the Tigers needed relief. People thought Dave Dombrowski should have made a move at the deadline. We went on the show, Al, and thought that Dave Dombrowski should have made a move at the deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for it to go, they made the price trade, but we're starting pitching what the Tigers needed at that point.
So
that's the thing, is I think this year he's addressing the needs more. I like what he did. Yeah, you're losing Robbie Ray, but it also says a lot about the starting pitching, that they're confident enough that they have a solid 4 or 5 rotation, that they won't need a solid fifth pitcher like a Robbie Ray that maybe still needs even some more time in the minors.
Yeah, and you talk about that starting pitching. I think this move alludes to a few names that they possibly are bracing for to leave this ball club. Max Scherzer.
Gone.
Price. And Porcello, possibly. Could possibly leave, I think, Alex, by next year. Now, if you look at it, a number of teams right now are interested in lefty David Price and righty Rick Porcello, both of whom are scheduled to hit free agency next winter. They could either, you know, use a pitcher as a part of the trade to acquire another outfielder. That's also in speculation. But the Tigers right now, I think they plan to have Green start the season in the starting rotation immediately. Prior to the trade, the team was planning to replace former Cy Young winner, of course, Max Scherzer, with one of several minor league starting pitchers if Max was going to leave this team. Now, in acquiring Green, what I think is happening, this trade really ensures that possibly Scherzer won't be returning to Detroit. I think they are bracing for the impact that could hit this team if Max decides not to come along with this ball club next year. And I think, that bars another trade involving another Tiger starting pitcher going elsewhere as well. So we'll see. It's an interesting move here to acquire Green. I think Dombrowski is sort of attacking this from the perspective, okay, let's get Green because we may be missing a few puzzle pieces.
A nice security blanket. Yeah, and exactly. That's the thing is Shane Green, he's got a proven track record over there. One of the bright spots in a down franchise that has been seriously down with talent for a good amount of time now over the last 2-3 years, consistently lacking with playoff boosting. Yeah, I mean, this probably, it might be a good fit, you know, a new location, new start for the guy. But still in the end, Al, do you still think the Tigers with this trade are strong enough to the point, aside from the long term, to compete right now? Like, do they need to make any more trades?
I think you will see. Right now, other than the pitching, I think the biggest concern has to be an outfielder right now. I mean, defensively, this team needs somebody to play in the outfield. And that's a move right now. Again, what I think they can do here, you know, is possibly look around the league, see what they have in value to other players around the league, and go for a solid outfielder. Because right now, that's a glaring need. That's a glaring hole for this team. It was a need for this team last year. I mean, looking at when that whole thing went down with Price and Jackson, it's like, okay, who's going to play the outfield now? You know what I mean? So that has to be, I think, the next priority for this team. I do think they have a lineup that can compete with some of the best in the league, without a doubt. The starting pitching is, they have a solid starting pitching rotation. But defensively, I mean, Alex, if you look at the numbers, I mean, the Tigers were a team that statistically was among the worst defensive teams in the league. And that came to bite them in the butt as the season went on last year. So I think that has to be a glaring priority for this team moving forward. And we'll see what that happens. But again, I think this is a move, though. I like the Shane Green acquisition, though. It, like you said, it's a security blanket for what could possibly happen with that starting pitching rotation down the line with other moves that could be made. So we'll see, folks. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, since it's Friday, folks, what we love to do each and every Friday is reflect. Yes, Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that was on current sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be? Oh, right. My wings carry me. I don't know freedom. Welcome back to Current Sports on this Friday, December 5th. Man, that's one of my favorite artists right there. That's J. Cole. J. Cole's new album dropping. Gotta love that, man. Gotta love that. He's a talented, talented artist, folks. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. They will stay open for the next 30 minutes. 517-355-9527. It is time to reflect, ladies and gents. A lot happened. What a busy week in the world of sports, folks. So much to talk about. We had a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, a lot of guests, just a lot of things to talk about on this week's Current Sports. So what we love to do is sort of take a look back at the week that was in sports and give you our favorite sports stories and moments from this week. So, hey, without further ado, let's start it. Reflection Friday. All right, yes, it's Reflection Friday. Let's take a look at the week that was in sports and give you some of our favorite stories and moments here on the show. And I now invite our fantastic intern. It is, folks, his last day working with us here at Current Sports. Him and his fellow classmates have done one outstanding job throughout this entire semester. Andrew Hayes, how you doing, my man?
Just happy to be here. As you say, almost, or pretty regularly, time flies when you're having fun. I don't
time
know where
flies.
This semester has gone.
I'm telling you, I can't, you know, when one of the students told me that this is the final week of classes for you guys, because next week, I believe, is final exams.
Yep.
Study hard, folks. Study
Absolutely.
Hard. I was like, wow, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, man. So, yeah, you'll join me for Reflection Friday. You actually, I'll let you start this thing. I'll, you know, without further ado, Andrew, you have a pretty interesting moment that I actually briefly talked about on Monday's show.
So, one thing that came up this week, the University of Alabama at Birmingham has decided to discontinue their football program, completely and totally get rid of it due to budget issues. I don't remember the specific numbers, but it would cost the school a lot of money to keep the football program going. This was something that at first I didn't see as that big a deal, but then I saw this video of the players being informed and their reaction to the president of just how they felt after finding out the news. And Shari's going to play that.
Three surgeries last year. I can't tell you how many surgeries this team has gone through, man. The life of this team, to put all these colors, to put this emblem, to represent college football. For no one gave us a chance, ever. Ever. Not even our own board of trustees. Never gave us a shot. And it's about us in this room. It's about that man, which I love dearly. And I would do anything for him. And I know he would do the same for me. And same for the rest of these guys. And Miss Shannon, the sweetest girl in the world, and all these people. It's more than just numbers. It's people. It's families. It's UAB football.
So
wow.
Here,
wow.
Yeah. It's I didn't see the story as that big until I saw that. And he puts a point on it, you know? It's people. And that's what sports is all about. And it's as silly as this seems sometimes, the things that we talk about and the things that we seem to blow out of proportion, sports is important to people. And it is something that once it's gone, you miss it terribly.
And you know, I think when you look at and hear that glaring bite, I mean, it's a very emotional moment because, I mean, this team finds out that football will no longer exist there. And the thing is, I always say, you know, we talk about it. I mean, that's the mantra here on Current Sports, going beyond the X's and O's. Sports, anybody out there who's played on a team, participated in organized sports, it's more than what you do out there on the gridiron. It's more than how you perform out there on the hardwood. It's a family. I mean, the ties and bonds that I formulated throughout my high school playing career, I mean, I'm still in touch with those guys. I consider them my brother, some of them. You know what I mean? So it's a family, and to see something like that just snatched away, it's like, what do you do now? That's a very, very sad story, and I really hope, you know, in due time, that program gets back on its feet and does get their football program back. So that's a great reflection right there, Andrew. Sad stuff. That's a sad reflection,
yeah,
man.
It's not
happy.
Happiest,
not like this tune that we're playing underneath us.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, for me, you know, it was an interesting moment that we had here on Current Sports at the beginning of the week on Tuesday. I had started the show, and I didn't know that this discussion would blow up like it did on Tuesday's show. But I started the show by talking about the St. Louis Rams mini protest, if you will, before their game against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, where they came out, they put their hands up, and they gave the hands up, don't shoot gesture, and of course, in supporting Michael Brown, the young African American teen whose life was sadly taken by Officer Darren Wilson. Sparked up a lot of controversy. People were rioting everywhere. People were protesting, and still are protesting to this day. And it was interesting because I brought up that moment and gave my views and thoughts on it, and we had some interesting takes from a lot of callers from around the area.
And it's good. It's good, man. Yeah, you're just calling for justice and truth, and I appreciate that. And I am myself. I want to say that in the preseason, when this whole situation started, the Washington Redskins came out with their hands up, don't shoot. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see the Redskins do it,
okay.
No.
I was surprised that that topic didn't come up, and I was surprised that people weren't complaining then. I thought that was beautiful. The hoodies in the NBA, I don't think anybody really complained about that when they supported the Trayvon Martin shooting. You know, just recently we had a man strangled to death on video, New York police. We had a 12-year-old shot immediately by police once they came up on him. They said they thought he was like 20 years old and so forth and so forth. And we had a young black teen who was shot in his hallway stairwell by a couple of police officers who admitted he didn't do anything wrong, but they were startled. I mean, we're talking about an institutionalized situation where people of color are in danger of the police. I have my own situation, and I live in Williamston, and I have a racist white neighbor who has used the Michigan State Police to harass, intimidate my family, and I've confronted my neighbor with my picketing. I've confronted the Michigan State Police, written to the governor, written to the director of the Michigan State Police, and met with the lieutenant on the Michigan State Police Force and found that they were in violation of their policy. So intimidation and harassment on the part of police is real. For whatever reason, it's real. And you pointed out a couple weeks ago, hey, let's protest, but let's make sure we're nonviolent, and let's make sure we stay within the framework of integrity and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I love what they did. In closing, I want to say this. I read a book probably about 15, 20 years ago, and this guy who wrote this book said that athletes were the most conservative and docile people in society because they had wealth, they had egos, and they were worshipped by society. So every time I see something like this, I feel like athletes have taken a stand and become manly. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Apachu, and great take on that. Always a great call with Apachu. Appreciate that.
I was calling because I was listening to the show earlier. I was calling in when you were talking about you were giving advice when you were saying like when you were going to riot to be safe and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I agree with that. I agree with it. But the day after Thanksgiving, I listened to WKAR all day. So the day after Thanksgiving, I was listening and they did an interview with a family that the young man, he was out rioting. And even though his mom was saying that she didn't approve of him, you know, being out in the riots and tearing up stuff and things like that, I had agreed with that. And then the young man actually responded. And he was saying that the mindset of the people that was rioting was that it's going to hurt the community financial wise. Like he was saying that even though the jury came back with that verdict, he was saying that their perspective was to hurt them financially. And I'm not saying that I really agree with him, but it just gave me like a different perspective as far as he was saying how much money they would actually lose because of the riots, where even like they'll be affected the same way.
As far as repairing the damage that took place?
Yeah, because they tore that place down.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying. And I was calling because I was listening to you talk earlier. But ever since I heard that interview with him, I'm not saying that I would participate in the riot, but I'm saying that it's given me a different perspective because sometimes we'll say things and we'll have our perspective and we'll say, oh, that's just crazy. But that was the first time I've ever actually heard a person who was in a riot actually give their perspective, and it just changed it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I would participate, but because they are going to be affected. They are going to be hurt financially for it. Like, it is actually going to cost Ferguson.
Yeah, again, that was two callers, Apachu, and again, you just the last voice you heard was Camilla, two dedicated callers who call in all the time here on Current Sports. They gave some great takes on that discussion that we had again, earlier this week on Tuesday. So, yeah, I just thought that was just some healthy conversation that sometimes sports and life collide. And that was one of those stories that, you know, one of those moments that we got a lot of callers and a lot of thoughts from. I mean, my email box blew up later on that day. My Twitter feed blew up. Interesting discussion and healthy discussion, folks. Gotta love that. And also, before to end Reflection Friday, Alex, you know what is coming right now. You know it, don't you? Can you guess? You want to guess, Alex, what's coming?
Something about your Pistons?
No.
I thought it was going to be about the state of the Pistons.
How about them Cowboys, baby?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm riding high right now. My Cowboys are 9-4, second in the NFC East. They are rolling. We got a big matchup this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, though. So I always wanted to shout out my Cowboys, even though they were playing the bad, bad Bears. The Bad News Bears is what I'm dubbing this year's team. They're just bad, folks. all right. Before we get to the break, we actually have a caller, John from Holt. John, you're on Current Sports. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing well. I had a question about the Michigan State men's team. Do you see this as about a .500 team in the conference, or do you
see him doing a little bit better than that, because the Big Ten has 6 ranked teams right now. So,
as far as the men's basketball team, right?
Yeah, men's, yes.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call, Jack. Yeah, I think right now you're starting to see that this team is starting to find itself. They're trying to find himself, John. They got some glaring holes right now. Offensively, you don't have a go-to guy, and the offense looks so stagnant and lost at times. You know, we had Joe Rexroad on the show yesterday to sort of break down the game against Notre Dame. Right now, if you had to call on a go-to guy to get you points and buckets, I think that guy may be Denzel Valentine. Travis Trice has been relatively consistent up until the last 2 games. Defensively, they got to play better. Right now, I think this team will get better. We've seen historically, Tom Izzo teams, as a season goes by, they find themselves and they get better. They have a great opportunity in this stretch right now where they play 5 straight home games against relatively cupcake opponents. They can get that record where it needs to be. They can get some confidence, first of all, because I think this team is lacking some confidence right now looking at the losses they've had to the formidable teams that they've lost to. I think this team will be above 500 and will be better, head over heels better, than what we're seeing right now. Tom Izzo, Tristan Izzo, I think they'll be fine, Joe. John, thanks a lot for the call, John. Really appreciate that. And Alex, you have one last reflection for us?
Yeah, pretty interesting reflection on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. I know you've seen the show of times.
Yeah.
Did you catch the one about Robert Morris's new varsity sport?
No, the video games.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just caught it recently. And for those of you listening, Robert Morris University now has a video game sport as a part of their varsity athletics. They recruit from all over the nation, scholarships. They have their classes. They have team meetings, just like a coach is giving a good talk to the players. So you're talking outside the X's and O's, the first university to establish a video game varsity team as a part of their school. Something special, man.
Yeah, they are recognized as just like a team. They are a team. I mean, they hold events and they go against other players. I mean, it's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, I saw that. My jaw was on the floor. I can't believe.
And that goes back to what is a sport, right?
Right, and that goes back to that discussion as well. Interesting stuff. All right, well, that wraps up Reflection Friday. Before we hit the second break, I want to shout out John Wilson. John Wilson is our winner of the MSU men's basketball tickets. MSU, again, they have a game tomorrow at 2:15 p.m. Shout out to John Wilson. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll be talking football. Yes, not your average gridiron grittiness, folks. We're talking about soccer, yes. And we invite the man, Brooks Lambeer, Impact Sports writer for MSU and women's MSU soccer. He'll talk about the big matchup tomorrow at noon against Providence. You don't want to miss that. We'll be back in a flash. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, so we got John Wilson, who won our men's basketball tickets. If you want to go check out the MSU hockey team as they take on one of the best teams in the nation, Minnesota, tonight, if you want to win those tickets, hey, call now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, well, let's get to our guest to end today's Current Sports. He is a member of the Impact Sports team. They do a fantastic job here on the campus of Michigan State University. And he is the MSU men's and women's soccer beat writer, also covers Lansing United when they are out there playing as well. Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. How you doing, Brooks?
Good, Al. How about you?
Hey, I can't complain, man. It's Friday, right? You got to love Friday, right? TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. A big, big day tomorrow for the MSU men's soccer team. They have a golden opportunity here to possibly make it all the way to the Final Four. They will be playing in their back-to-back now. Back-to-back years, this team has now made Elite Eight appearances. Mm-hmm. They will be taking on Providence. First off, I want to go back and talk about the Washington game because I tell you what, you talk about raising your blood pressure level. That was a game that certainly raised mine. It goes to penalty kicks. MSU ends up topping Washington to put them in the position that they are in now. I mean, how impressive for you was the win over Washington on penalty kicks to make it another Elite Eight appearance?
It's a lot like what a lot of the guys say. Sometimes you need a little luck. You don't have to play a perfect game. A little lucky that Jay Chapman throws a ball forward and the freshman defender for Washington knocks it back into his own goal. And then, you know, skill right there. Stacy finds Jack Carroll, who plays a great ball to Adam Montague. And Tim Kreutz, God bless him, for running towards the goalie again after the goalie punches him in the face. And he I don't know if he has a broken nose.
The goalie punched him in the face?
Accidentally on a ball about 5 minutes before. He went out with a bloody nose. They stuck a piece of cotton in his nose. But God bless him for running into the towards the goal and just chesting that ball down and into the goal to tie the game.
Wow, impressive stuff. And you know what, Brooks? It's so funny because, you know, I go back to the conversation we had in the summertime around the World Cup time, if you will, and you expressed here on Current Sports how much you hate how games end on penalty kicks. But this is a time of the year where you got to separate the men from the boys at some point or another in a game. You have to have some declared winner. I mean, games ending on penalty kicks, I mean, does it really reveal who the better team is?
I think it does. It brings out a lot of character, who can perform under pressure. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, you could see Washington miss twice. They had problems with penalty kicks against Furman the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan State closed, and Ben Myers had an opportunity, kind of left the door open a little bit. Guy that usually doesn't play a lot for Michigan State, but he's a good penalty kick taker. But Fatai closed it, and Fatai's been doing that all season. And Zach Carroll started off, and he's been taking PKs for him. So they closed the door.
Yeah, they certainly did. Now, you know, we had Ryan Keener on the show, Brooks, earlier this week here on the show. He's an MSU senior defender for this team. Now, you know, earlier this week he talked about how a game like, you know, the one against Washington can really be good for this team. You know, battling some adversity, coming through in the clutch. But also, you know, the game going down to the wire like that in the first place, Brooks, do you think that it can be looked as one that exposed a few chinks in the armor for this team as well? And if so, what are those?
I don't really think it's exposed anything. You know, the first goal Washington got was lucky. It was off a deflection. Nothing anyone could do anything about. You know, really the second goal, the long throw-ins, the set pieces they've had a little trouble with during the year. You know, that's just something they need to clean up, and they know they need to. It's something that can be easily be taken care of for them. And I don't really think it exposed anything. And I think they're a solid team in the midfield. I think they're playing a lot better up top now that Montague and Kreutz have played a lot of games together. You know, the beginning of the season was a little shaky. You know, just be aware of what they have to be aware of what they're going to do in the back. That starts with Zach and the four guys in front of them. Communication, that's the biggest thing.
Communications is the key to everything, even in my business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're talking with Brooks Lambert of Impact Sports, MSU men's and women's soccer beat writer. Now, all right, Providence tomorrow. I tell you what, this is going to be a very interesting game, Brooks. You know, again, they have an opportunity to make it to the Final Four. Against a team, well, first off, what kind of team? For those that don't know anything about Providence out there, our listeners who don't know anything about Providence, including myself, I tell you that, what areas must this team improve upon if they want to beat Providence, and what kind of team is Providence?
Well, Providence is a team that likes to counter, and they're very fast on the forward position. They have a lot of good players. There's not one superstar they have. They're just they're a good, solid team. Michigan State needs to be very careful on the counter. Don't turn the ball over in the final third, in their defensive third. Very similar to pretty much how Damon and I usually explain the game. It's just, you don't need to play perfect, but you need to play well. Smart passes, possess the ball in the midfield, do well on set pieces like they have done all year. They have one set piece goal in the postseason here. I'd like to probably see a couple more. Maybe they can do that tomorrow. Let's see what happens. But it's going to be a very good matchup between this Providence College team and the Spartans there. The Big East was very good. Georgetown's on the other side of the bracket, and they're a very good team. Creighton is down below on the bottom left of the bracket. They're a very good team as well. So Providence hasn't played any cheap teams this season.
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, looking at the bracket right now, Providence is actually ranked 11th. An 11th seed in this year's bracket. Michigan State, of course, number 3. Is it surprising at all that Providence has made it this far, and how they've been able to do that, Brooks?
No, they had a good first round game. No, they had to get by, and they did, and you know that was easy. They beat UAB. No, they didn't beat UAB. My bad. They got a bye. They had to play Dartmouth in the first round.
Right, right.
Dartmouth was very good this year in the Ivy League. You know, when I podcasted with the guys from Top Drawer Soccer, J.R. Eskelson, you know, said that, you know, Dartmouth is a very tough team, and there probably should have actually been two Ivy League teams. Princeton should have actually got in this tournament as well. They got a little gypped a little bit, but very solid Dartmouth team. They took it. Providence, you know, they played well at home and they won 3-0, surprisingly. You know, and then they beat UC Irvine, a very good team that upset a very good Stanford team. Now, when I talk about good Stanford team, I'm talking about Jordan Morris of Stanford, who is a player that Jurgen Klinsmann wants on the U.S. men's national team.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-12 is very strong this year, very good conference.
Right.
So they have beaten some good teams. If UC Irvine beats Stanford, you know they're good.
Exactly, right. Yes. The proof is always in the pudding, and that is certainly impressive, to say the least. All right, now, you know, looking at Michigan State, again, like, this is back-to-back Elite Eight appearances for him now, Brooks. And, you know, talking with Ryan earlier this week, again, Ryan Keener, MSU senior defender, he was on Current Sports earlier this week to talk about this incredible ride for this year's team. I got a mood from him when talking to him that this team now isn't just satisfied with getting to the Elite Eight. They're kind of foaming at the mouth to, you know, now, and also Ryan also said that, yeah, I mean, it's a huge accomplishment because, I mean, again, you're in the Elite Eight. There's only eight teams left, and you're one of them. I mean, that's certainly a very, very remarkable accomplishment. But now that they've done it last year, they're kind of foaming at the mouth to get over this hump, if you will.
Yeah, they are. And I think they want it as badly as I've ever seen it. You know, they wanted it bad last year with Kevin Cope. That kid worked his butt off last year, and the guys, and let's also talk about how the guys before them have set them up for this stage.
Right.
The hard work that Damon Renson with the first recruiting class, with Josh Behrens, Tim Kreutz, a couple other guys that started in Damon's first recruiting class, and what they've achieved till now, they want this very badly. Now you have Zach Carroll, who was there last year with the University of Virginia in the Final Four. These guys have Elite Eight experience. These freshmen that they have are stepping up. I didn't expect this much from the freshmen this year. Damon talked about in the preseason about how, yeah, maybe one or two guys will play, but they're playing about three or four freshmen, and Ken Krilicki's playing wonderful in the midfield. Jimmy Fiskus and Brad Santala have been excellent at the left back position.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Marcantonini, he hasn't scored goals, but he's definitely been a little chaos for some teams in the back by making runs.
So he's been a presence as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, gotta love that. All right, so now let's just say, in a perfect world here, let's say Michigan State does get past Providence, Brooks. What is the best possible draw for MSU if they do get over that hump?
Well, they get the winner of North Carolina in UCLA. North Carolina, a lot of 11 seniors on this team. Very, very old team and very experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have UCLA, which is probably the most talented team in the tournament. Leo Stolz, excellent player. Played over in Germany for a while, decided to come and get a college degree because his parents wanted him to. Very fast up top, very solid all around. That's who they'll play, either one of those teams in the Final Four. And I'm guessing UCLA is at home, so I would say UCLA is probably going to win. Though those two teams did play earlier in the season, and UCLA edged North Carolina 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these Elite Eight games should be very close. It should be one goal difference, maybe two.
Right, at the most. Yes. Gotcha. All right. Well, you know this question is coming. I always ask you to give a score prediction and give a prediction on whatever matchup MSU is currently in, to whatever preview you're doing. All right, so Providence and Michigan State, who you got and why, Brooks?
Oh, boy. I'm going to take the Spartans at home because it is an advantage to play at home during the NCAA men's soccer tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say they win 2-1. I think there'll be not a cheap go early, but, you know, maybe MSU will jump out early. Providence may get one, but then off a set piece, a corner, a free kick, MSU does it. They put it away 2-1, advance to the Final Four to carry North Carolina, play probably UCLA, and we'll see what happens from there.
Wow. All right. I tell you what, if you're right, Brooks, I mean, you need to go to Vegas, my man, and start cashing in on some things, all right?
Yes.
Now, I tell you what, something else that really could bode well in MSU's favor, the weather's supposed to be beautiful this weekend. I mean, it's supposed to be like 40 degrees, not too cold. I'm like, you got to be, is it December right now? It's crazy. So, I mean, that's got to bode well for this team as well, right?
I mean, Providence is in Rhode Island. I don't know how much, if they were playing a California team, like if I predicted they were going to play Stanford, if Stanford got this
right, it would have been a complete shock to them.
Yes, yeah. I think that kind of surprised Washington last week, plus the time zone difference. But,
right.
You know, but yeah, I think it'll be actually pretty evenly matched weather, depending It doesn't matter what the weather is.
Gotcha. All right, Brooks. Also, I want to pick your brain about this to wrap up our discussion here. What has the buzz been around campus like? You know, because I tell you what, when Lansing United went as far as they did, I tell you what, coupled with the fact that this is a World Cup year, I mean, everybody's talking about soccer. I mean, you turn on ESPN, you turn on Fox Sports, I turn on my radio. I couldn't get away from it. I read the paper. Soccer's everywhere. Now, from a local standpoint here at Michigan State University, here in Michigan, with Michigan State having the success that they're having right now, what's the buzz been like for this week leading up to this matchup?
Well, it's picked up. The Red Cedar Rowdies are definitely really advertising to come to the game.
The Red Cedar Rowdies. Oh, boy. Gotta love that.
An MSU alumni is paying for the first 200 students to get into the game for free on Saturday.
Wow.
They're doing a little tailgate at 10 a.m. at the Harrison Roadhouse. So you've got that going on. But I guess overall around campus, more media showed up yesterday. You know, before it was just me and Matt and I from this, Matt who works for the state news, and just the both of us
at the
beginning of the season.
You probably saw Skip and Stephen A. walk in yesterday, huh?
Jeez. That'd be interesting, right?
I know, right?
Yes. So you got Graham Couches yesterday. But the buzz around campus, I think it's picked up. I know talking with the guys at Impact Sports last night, a lot of them want to go to the game. I hope they have a lot of people. This is going to be a good matchup, and this is a very good team. And you don't want to – personally, I love soccer. I know I don't want to miss it, but you don't want to miss this matchup to see something this team hasn't done in a very long time, to go to the Final Four.
That is certainly true. And you talk about other media members from around the area. Brooks, I will probably see you there tomorrow. I will be out there covering it. Again, you can catch our coverage of that matchup tomorrow at WKR.org. And I'm sure you have a fantastic write-up for it at Impact Sports, of course, as well, Brooks. Brooks, always a pleasure, my man. You have a good weekend. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
All right. Well, folks, just under 2 minutes left in the show. Man, I hate this time of the week. We got to take a two-day hiatus for you to max, rack, relax, and tax all weekend. Enjoy a fun-filled weekend of watching sports. So much to watch. Again, go on out to the Martin Stadium tomorrow. I will be there in attendance covering that game along with Brooks and just about every other media outlet here in Mid-Michigan. It's going to be a fun time. Again, Michigan State, the opportunity, folks, to go to the Final Four. I got chills just saying that, folks. Go on out. Support them. Again, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. And for every Current Sports we've done throughout this entire week, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic and safe weekend. And as always, be easy, people.